Always seems to me that the Lord gave a special grace to Handel to be able to give us a foretaste of heaven itself and long for that day when we will all sing that song with all the saints in glory. What a privilege it is that we have already started. Our scripture this morning, as we take a time off from Deuteronomy, is from Romans 1, verses 1 through 7, and then verses 16 through 17, considering the Son of God in power. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all in Rome who are loved by God, called to be his saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. I'm going to ask the young children if they'll come up front. Where's your friends? Say, help. Here they come. Good morning. Are you the most powerful people in this church?
No.
No?
Because people are not powerful because they're not superheroes.
They're not superheroes. But do you have a superpower? I bet you do.
No, we don't.
Yes, you do. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes, I already know what it is.
What do you think? That's a great blessing. But you know what your power is?
What?
That if you yelled, help, what would happen? Who would come help you? You don't know.
I know.
Who would come help you? Your mom and dad. In fact, I remember on Wednesday night Bible study one time at Harper, you hurt your finger in something, and you yelled. And your dad and your mom ran so fast. Do your mom and dad love you?
Yes.
And will they do all they can to help you?
Yes.
Does that mean they'll give you everything you want?
No.
You guys know that well, I see. But can your mom and dad always be with you?
Yes.
No.
No.
I'm sorry, but they can't always be with you. But you know who is?
God.
Jesus.
God.
And the Holy Spirit. And if you cry out for help, do you know how we know Jesus will help us?
Yes.
He died for us. And is he still dead?
No.
No. He was raised from the dead. And it's that power and that love that watches over and keeps you all the time. Again, that doesn't mean you get what you want, but you get blessed. Right?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Let's go back to our seats and learn more about that, okay? Begin with a word of prayer. But Lord, even now we ask for your help, the help of your Spirit to illuminate this word, the power of your Spirit to open our hearts and our understanding, that we might know you, Lord Jesus, the Son of God in power, given to us from the Father of lights, from whom every good gift descends. Bless us even now, in Jesus' name, amen. Lynn and I are particularly blessed, not only in our children, but in our children's families, and part of that is that every year, the day before Easter, we get invited to a family picnic with Melissa's family. And they have that down at the lake by their house, and we went yesterday, and it's her extended family, most of whom I can't remember all their names, but one of her cousins was there yesterday with their 14-month-old child, who has learned to walk in a way only a 14-month can, toddling here, sort of following their head this way, and spending as much time on her backside as she did on her feet. She was unsteady, and we were right next to a lake. She also has the gift of being adventurous. And so every place her parents went, she tried to go the opposite direction. But as she did, and they tag-teamed, one or both of her parents were only a foot behind her the whole day. I just thought, how exhausting. And I thought that because one of the first things we're doing on my sabbatical is to go visit my granddaughter, who thankfully is not walking yet, but apparently has the ability of rolling over and moving in such a way that she frustrates herself and needs help getting out of it. But isn't that the picture of love? Love wants to protect and provide and bless. But no matter how much you want to do those things, we fall short. We fail in protecting and providing. We can't protect from everything. We can't provide for everything. And we're not always wise about how to bless. See, when you love, you're exposing yourself to just how inadequate you are. We can't fix all wrongs for those we love. We can't remove cancer. We can't end wars. Some of us respond to that by wanting to love no one and to keep everyone at a distance because it costs too much. Praise God that His love, way more costly than anything we could do, did not keep Him from us. See, our inadequacies remind us we need one who is loving and wise and powerful. We need help. Easter is the reminder of the greatest help, a celebration of power and love from God the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit to all who are His. It's what we celebrate, though, not just on Easter, but every Lord's Day, which is Resurrection Day, where we're reminded and encouraged Jesus has risen, and as He has united Himself to us, so also have we. Already, we have been raised from the dead. Now, we still need to lose these mortal bodies that are falling apart. But death has no power for those who have been loved and empowered by Christ. That's why we gather each Sunday, to be strengthened and reminded of our hope and our unending joy in Christ. And Paul captures that here with the introduction to a book that is going to celebrate that in ways few other of his writings do. As with most of the ancient letters, Paul simply begins by introducing himself. He's a servant of Jesus called to be an apostle, a sent one with a message. He shares his purpose, that he's set apart for the gospel, the good news that was promised beforehand. He's telling us here that the entire Old Testament is about Jesus and his good news. It would take quite a while for us to sound all of that. But from beginning to end, Jesus, the deliverer, is promised of God and has come to accomplish and bring good news in the power and love of God, which brings eternal blessing. This is the one who's descended from David. That is, he's a human just like us. But also he is declared to be Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Resurrection is more than important. It's essential. Paul, in speaking to the Corinthians, says, the resurrection hasn't happened. We're fools. We have no hope. The resurrection is at the heart of where our hope and our joy and our peace are founded. It is central to who Jesus is, what he has accomplished, and what he has for us as his people. Resurrection, I think, has two senses to it, and I think Paul wants us to think about both ways. First, resurrection is a striking power of God's power, a striking example of God's power accomplished by the Holy Spirit. Dr. Thomas Miller, in his book, Did Jesus Really Rise from the Dead? A Surgeon Scientist Examines the Evidence, speaks about what took place at the resurrection. And again, it wasn't a minute later that Jesus was revived from the dead. It wasn't 10 minutes later. It wasn't a day later. It was 3 days. Dr. Miller writes, consider for a moment what is involved in bringing a dead person back to life. Not only are we talking about reinfusing life into the cells of this person's body so he is identical in appearance and function to what he was prior to death, but the complex biochemistry of each of these cells is restored so that they can adequately carry out their precise and diverse activities. And we're not just talking about a few hundred or even a few hundred thousand cells, probably as many as 100 trillion cells made alive by the power of God. That's not a little bit of power. That's immeasurable power. But secondly, resurrection is a testimony, or better yet, a vindication of all Christ said and claimed to be. And what is redeemed or vindicated here is the Son of God with power, or more specifically, literally, the powerful Son of God is revealed. Now, Jesus came as a helpless infant. He died what seemed to be a helpless death, despised, rejected, slain. But in all these things, he was the Son of God, God the Son, laying aside his power that he might serve and save, not in the way that we would think, but in keeping with the Father's purposes. And Jesus alone gave up his spirit, offering himself as the sacrifice. The sacrifice that alone could pay my debt and yours. And the resurrection, which includes, in Paul's thinking, his ascension, is a declaration that that sacrifice was pleasing to the Father and sufficient to make known to all of us. He is the all-powerful Son of God, vindicated in all that he promised and all that he did. And with his resurrection and ascension, he is given all power and all authority, and he rules over all things. All that he had set aside to save us is restored to him. That's what Paul brings together with this phrase that served as the earliest Christian creed. Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's overflowing with meaning. Our Lord is simply putting Jesus as God. That word Lord is used to translate God's personal name, Yahweh, throughout Old Testament. And it's used about Jesus in a purposeful and profound way. In 1 Corinthians 8, it makes clear Jesus is equal with the Father. In the birth announcement in Luke 2, he is Christ the Lord, echoing Psalm 110. And in Matthew 22, he is David's son, echoing Psalm 2. That name and that title was the most profound testimony in the early church. Polycarp, who lived just 100 years after Jesus and was probably discipled by John, was brought to trial for declaring Jesus as Lord. Two city officials who respected and loved him pled with him. Don't say that anymore. Acknowledge Caesar as Lord. Light a few incense candles. What big deal could it be? Polycarp responded, "For 86 years, I've belonged to Jesus. He has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who has saved me? Jesus is Lord." Remember, Paul is writing this to the church in Rome, where the secular emperor lived and ruled and seemed to be all-powerful. And in writing this, Paul is making clear there is only one Lord. And Paul is, or that person on that earthly throne is being threatened by the true King, the one who alone is worthy to be followed, even through death. And so I simply ask you this morning, when you call him Lord, is that what you mean? Because that's what Paul meant. And that's at the heart of trusting Jesus. But Jesus is not just Lord, he's also Savior. Because as Lord, he conquered all the forces of evil. He conquered sin, he conquered misery, and ultimately he conquered death and the deceiver. And as such, he saves. And that salvation comes through him conquering first sin, death, and the evil one. But then in conquering your and my heart so that we might be his. We don't come naturally or easily to Jesus. We come through his power and love. Resurrection power, the lordship of Jesus Christ. And as Paul makes clear here in verse 5, that resurrection power also leads us to the obedience of faith. Paul here is using a wordplay. Faith produces obedience, and the very nature of obedience is faith. Faith is knowing, being convinced, and trusting Jesus is Lord. And that's what's at the heart of recognizing Jesus, the resurrected, ascended one. Sin is disobedience, rebellion against God and against his Christ, acting as if he is nothing and we are Lord. But the testimony of our words and our deeds must be the resurrected one is Lord. The life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus confronts us about who's in charge. Again, in the real world, how much power do you have? Now, you can build in an illusion of power. But how much real power do you have? God often gently, and sometimes not so gently, reminds us we're not in charge. He is. Are you trusting him as Lord? As you trust him as the one with all power? The heart of that is we need to turn away from ourselves and return or turn to him, denying ourselves and following him as Lord. And for that, we need help, which is at the heart of the resurrection. His lordship is where our help for changing hearts and being obedient and trusting comes from. That's what Paul means when he talks about good news. Not just that Jesus is all-powerful, but that his power is guided by love and sets free those who were or are even now enslaved and dead in sin. He's doing that not just for a privileged few, but for people from every nation. He did it for Paul, who hated the love and power of his Savior changed his heart. And now he has the privilege of proclaiming that good news for all who would hear. All that is the grace of God, his favor towards all who are his, towards all who deserve only wrath. Paul is writing to those who, like him, are receiving that grace and now belong to Jesus, loved by God, called to be saints. And so he blesses them with the Lord's blessing. And he gives that to all who would read this letter by faith, that there is grace and peace for all. Grace, God's favor. Peace, restoration of relationship with those who had cut themselves off but are now bought back. Grace and peace that bring freedom and fullness and blessing. Paul's introduction about the power and love of God in Christ, made clear, made manifest in the resurrection, is simply an introduction to the next 16 chapters of that grace and that peace. To Christ, who has all power and authority, who doesn't keep that power for himself, but pours it out and brings blessing as he gives to us his Holy Spirit, that we might know him and trust him, that we might trust Jesus, even as he exposes how we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that he might expose us and demand us to be righteous, and gives us freedom to turn away from our rebellion and back to God. Jesus pours out his power upon us so that we might believe in God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are both just and justifiers, declaring us free from the burden of sin and shame and death. Righteous in Jesus, so that we have peace, joy, and hope. Jesus helps us to know that in him, by the Spirit, we're now God's children, given his name, all the rights and privileges that come with that, so that we might live in his great joy, becoming more and more like him, saying no to sin, yes to obedience. Power to live as his church, glorifying him, blessing others, sharing good news. Power and love that even now is getting us ready for glory. The fullness of perfect peace, never-ending love, and ever-increasing joy. That's what's at the heart of knowing Son of God, resurrected, ascended Lord. And all of that is in the context of the freedom, knowing that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ. Nothing I can do to make him love me more. There's nothing I can do to make him love me less. He is good. And that's the big question for each of us every day. Is he your Lord? Not just by the confession of your mouth, but in who you are and how you are living by faith. Is he your Lord as he directs your thinking according to his word? Is he your Lord that by faith you are trusting him for every circumstance and every opportunity, that by the Holy Spirit he will provide? Are you daring to constantly ask, because you're his child, for more of his Spirit that he loves to give, trusting that he will provide all you need to live in his peace, joy, and hope? Psalm 62, one of my favorites, is an invitation to rest. It ends with a challenge. The psalmist there simply says, "Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this. Power belongs to God, and to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love." There's the heart of Easter. Power and love, perfectly brought together in God the Son, given to you by the Spirit, that we might know God as Father and live in his fullness. That's what we celebrate on Easter and on every Resurrection Day. The power and love of God in Christ by the Holy Spirit. And that's where we live, in the power, in the love of God, moment by moment, until he comes again or he brings us home. Amen. Oh, Lord, give us eyes to see, ears to hear. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to ponder the extent of your power which surpasses our understanding. And help us to grapple with your love that guides and directs that power for our good and for your glory in all things. Lord, open our understanding that moment by moment, day by day, until you come again, we might live in the fullness and the freedom and the joy and the blessing of your perfect love and power to the praise of your glory and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.